During Northern Ireland's sectarian conflict, the village of Crossmaglen was a flashpoint of violence between pro-Irish paramilitary groups and the British Army. Today, almost 20 years since the end of what was known as the Troubles, the peace dividend is everywhere to be seen. The village is well kept, good looking, and trade is brisk, a trade that is bolstered by the fact that the border with the Republic of Ireland, just 3 kilometres away, has been open since the end of the hostilities. Here at Casey's Eurospar, the village's main supermarket and service station, a good 40% of the customers come from nearby rural areas south of the border. But this could end with Brexit. Britain's expected hard exit from the EU could easily bring controlled borders and custom checks.
It would kill it. It would kill this area, business-wise.
That's Frank McPolan, the owner of Casey's Eurospar.
We can't deal with cut-off of circulation of movement.
Beyond border area retail, farmers all over Northern Ireland face Brexit with fear. Brexit means that they will lose crucial EU farming subsidies, which account for some 85% of farm income here. When you combine those subsidies with other peace-building funding from the EU, Brexit means Northern Ireland will forfeit an annual €600 million in aid from Brussels. At the cattle mart in Camlock, a town 15 kilometres east from Crossmaglen, some 350 farmers are gathered in a mucky kind of amphitheatre, sizing up cattle parading in a pen, centre stage. On top of losing EU subsidies, mart manager Brendan Reevy says that Northern Irish farmers are also very concerned about how competitive their beef will be in a post-Brexit world of bilateral trade deals. If the post-Brexit UK agrees to trade with Brazil or Argentina, for example,
they'll be looking to sell something back, you know, and I do believe in them countries, the beef trade is a lot cheaper than it is here.
Northern Ireland, the least developed and poorest region of the UK, stands to suffer the most from a hard Brexit. In this light, another path forward is being seriously considered, reunifying Northern Ireland with the Republic of Ireland.
There's probably more serious discourse about Irish reunification now than at any time since partition.
That's Kevin Maher, a commentator on Northern Ireland and a former government advisor. Maher argues that the reunification of Ireland is inevitable, but that the political and economic turmoil brought by Brexit merely accelerates the process. The argument for reunification is compelling and clear, he says, but the political path to reunification is fraught with contention.
I don't pretend that's an easy choice. Lots of unionists certainly are not going to be rather displeased at that. But I mean, it's a wake up and smell the coffee moment coming.
Unionists, those in Northern Ireland who identify as British and who wish to remain part of the UK, are the main obstacle to a possible unification of Ireland. But Northern Irish unionism is in crisis. In elections for the Northern Irish Parliament in early March, they lost an absolute majority for the first time ever. Unionist commentator Alex Kane says that unionist politicians in Northern Ireland run campaigns based on fear, and that in the face of Brexit, they must change tack.
They have to sell what the union is, what unionism is, what they are, what Northern Ireland could be.
Politics and demographics are changing in Northern Ireland. While an estimated 75% of the population remains ideologically married to the notions of either a United Kingdom or a United Ireland, there is a growing middle ground, some 25% of voters who have moved on from sectarianism and whose politics is pragmatic and issue-based. This population of voters, referred to as persuadables, are often young, ambitious and globalised. Peter Edgar is about to give a TED-style talk about innovation in Northern Ireland at a bar in Belfast's trendy Cathedral Quarter. An audience of about 70 people is there to hear new ideas and visions for their country.
There's maybe a third identity where you're not British or Irish or even Northern Irish. You're just like, you're just from a really creative, innovative society.
Do I identify around borders, or do I identify around, how would you describe it? Creativity, innovation, and like what that allows you to do.
P. Peter's a scout for inventors from across Northern Ireland. He helps them develop and monetize their ideas on international markets. In many ways, he is post-nationalism. This kind of political attitude is slowly taking over from the sectarian gridlock that has dominated in Northern Ireland for decades. For people like Peter, sectarian identity or even history have no part to play in the future.
I don't know if the United Ireland will make the people of here get more, and I don't know if remaining part of the UK is the best option as well. But what you can do is you can set, you know, what defines a happy life.
It's too early to say what kind of life Brexit will produce here. The finer details of the exit will be hammered out between London and Brussels over the next 2 years. But it's likely that the scenario that can guarantee the happiest life for those in Northern Ireland, be it as part of a UK out of the EU or as part of a United Ireland within the EU, is likely to take the day. Don Duncan, DW, Belfast.